All right, we're in the book of Hebrews this morning. We're going to talk about Noah's faith, and a lot of instructional good stuff in Hebrews 11, description of faith. And Noah's one of these pivotal figures in history that there's a lot that we still notice in today, archaeology and stuff like that, that happened during Noah's time. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 is where we'll get our lesson this morning. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. It's righteousness by faith. All of this chapter, Hebrews 11, deals with things people did by faith, and then the outcome of that. And I think I mentioned it Wednesday, but it's always fascinating to me to see the different applications of faith in people's lives. And depending on where you are and when you are and even in your own life, teenage years to adult years to married life to end of life, and the application of faith in all of these aspects and times and circumstances in life. And so Hebrews 11 deals with that. It deals with a lot of different applications of faith. But faith, he would say early on in the chapter, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He would go on to say, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the reason is faith is a response to what God says. And as we talked about in Sunday school, God is, he's looking for obedience. He's looking for people to listen to him. And, like we were doing it in Sunday school, reading Ecclesiastes and reading about promises people make and things like that, God, he's looking for someone to listen and not just not give him their resume or give him their promises or things like that. Just listen to him. And so we come to Noah and this incredible event in his life, in his lifetime, the flood. And something that looks like it created much of the archaeology and remnants. There's a record in the earth of what happened, at this time in history. But the history of mankind, when you go to the Genesis, and that's where Noah shows up, the history of mankind, Noah is the 10th generation of human history. 10th generation, and within the second generation, you already have murder that's entered into humanity. Cain kills Abel, and so by the time Noah is around, that civilization is entrenched in perversion, and the Lord is just fed up with it. And so when I read the description in Genesis, it's like there's so many things that match the culture and really the end of a culture. Things like celebrity worship, celebrity culture. When your morality is defined by the pretty people and the athletic people, the popular people, that's not a place to get morality from. The Lord gives instructions and light about perversion and what's right and what's wrong and things like that. But celebrity culture, when that defines the morals and the standards of the day, it's like pop culture, and the Lord's description of all that was, he said, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It's just the thoughts are so messed up and so perverted, and it's just, you can't You can't get into the mind. You can't, the Lord, the words of God can't penetrate the mind. The mind is so messed up. And there is just full immersion into this perversion. And that's within 10 generations, man went from a paradise to only thinking evil continually. That's incredible. And so the world that then was described as violent. It's death. It's drugs. It's violence. It's drunkenness and sex and endless partying. And the Lord would just say, all flesh had corrupted his way on the earth. All flesh has corrupted his way. And so God is done with it. He's just done with that civilization, that time in humanity and that humanity. And so that's the Lord's assessment of the world. And so obviously the world sees it differently. The world doesn't see judgment, God's judgment as right. It sees it as intrusive and invasive. And so that's really the defining thing, you know, when you either accept God's judgment on something and listen to him, or you go your own way and God becomes the bad guy. So with all that said, Noah's found. And Noah walks with God. The Bible says Noah finds grace in the eyes of God. He walks with the Lord. And then the little description in Hebrews 11 describes his faith. And there's some instruction in here about a faith that exists in this humanity. And it really exists in the midst of God's judgment. What does it look like? Because God definitely knows how to deliver his own out of judgment. While he's judging, he can deliver his own out of the judgment. And he's very capable of that. And so Noah is this man that walks with God. He is, I think he's described as perfect, just like Job. He's a man that finds grace in the eyes of God. And so, and why does he do that? Why does he find grace? Why does he walk with God? Well, because he listens to God. He agrees with the judgments that God has made on his culture and on life around him. And so, few things show up in this verse, and we'll stay in this verse. You don't have to go back to Genesis or anything, read the context, but we'll stay in this verse and just deal with the instruction and the things you can learn about faith from this man's life here. And I say that because I hear and you hear lots of people seem to talk about and say, I have faith. But when you consider what faith is versus what it's not, that's something you ought to know. I think, you know, you talk to a lot of religious people and I have faith, or even non-religious people. Yeah, if I just have enough faith and this will happen and stuff like that. Faith is not about you creating something out of thin air. Faith is about responding to what God said. So God speaks and then there's a response to that. It's either a faithful response or an unfaithful response. And so, let's read that verse and pick it apart here with Noah's faith. He says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. First thing I notice in faith is about listening. Faith is about listening to God's words. And particularly in Noah's day, is God justified in his judgment or is he not justified? Is he too critical about the culture? Is he just this tyrant who hates people? What is the deal? He seems to be at odds with the perversions of the people, and you know the world doesn't seem to think they're perversions, but they think God's a perversion, and so that's the defining thing: is God's judgment right or is it wrong? Is God righteous? Is he wrong? What is it? And Noah believes that God's judgment is right, and that people have perverted the ways of God. And when God created things good, and he set this stuff in motion, and he put families together, and made these relationships, it was man that deviated from that and changed all that and corrupted all that. And so all the things that God created as good turned out to be now they're areas of contention and hatred and strife and bitterness because of the perversion that man's brought into this thing. And so Noah agrees with God that the judgment is just. It's something that is called for. It's not tyrannical. It's not out there. It's very easily understood that things were good and now they're messed up, and they're messed up for a good reason. And so faith, first of all, he says, by faith Noah, being warned of God. So he listened to what God's warning was. He heard it. And faith is not about, this is what it's not about. It's not about seeing things. He mentions it specifically, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Faith is not about seeing. It's about listening. It's about listening. And particularly listening to the judgments and promises of God. I'll say this, there is some, and it's maybe for a very niche group, but there's some theology out there that says, you know, when Jesus is on the earth, faith is not necessary. Well, Jesus was already on the earth, and people didn't believe him. Faith is not about seeing something. It's about listening to what God said. It's always about listening to what God said. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And so faith is not about seeing. Noah's warned about something nobody's ever seen before. It might be the rain, according to Genesis 2. It looks like there's may not have ever been rain before on the earth. The atmosphere probably changed a lot at this point in time with the flood. But even if that's not the case, nobody had ever seen in this civilization, nobody had ever seen a global flood. Certainly that's true. And so this is something nobody's ever seen, and it makes me think, you know, a lot of the judgments of God are things that nobody sees. You don't see stuff like hell. You don't see these things. You don't even see rewards like heaven. You don't even see future bliss, and I say heaven, I mean earth without sin, things like that when Jesus Christ returns. But all these things are things you don't see. And what you have to do is you have to just believe what God said about these things. You have to trust that what he's saying is right. His judgments and his promises are all right. So Noah, he's warned about something nobody's ever seen. He believes God's warning. He believes it. And so by virtue of him hearing and listening, he gets moving on this ark. The Bible says without faith, right before this, he says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And it brings us to the second point. Faith is not just about listening to God's words. It's defined in the very first verse of this chapter. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does Noah do when he hears the warning? Well, he listens to how can we be delivered from this? How can we survive this thing? And he gets moving. The Bible says he moves with fear because he believes in God's judgment. And fear is one of these things. You can't demonize emotions. Every emotion is good if it's applied properly. You know, the problem is when it gets perverted and applied in an improper place. Fear is fine if you're fearing God. That's okay. That's right. Fearing other things that aren't reasonable or needed to be feared, that's out of place. But fearing God, that's what Noah does. He fears God, and the Bible says he moves with fear because he believes God is not only a judge, he believes God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So Noah's faith is it's in his response to what he's heard now. Now he's going to do something with it. You say, where is the evidence of things hoped for? Where is the substance of things hoped for? We'll jump ahead a little bit. And given 120 years, however long it takes to build the ark, there's 120 years between the warning and the flood there. And so if it might have took 120 years to build this thing, or 100 years, and for 20 years he stood out in front of it, I don't know. But 120 years after the warning, Noah's got this ark built that has been architectured and blueprinted by God. He said, build it this way, and this is how you'll be delivered. This flood is going to destroy the earth. I mean, it's going to destroy everything that has breath. And so he moves with fear. So what is the evidence of Noah's faith? What does it look like? Well, in Noah's case, it looks like an ark. It looks like something he built. So he makes this ark, and there's the substance. People try to put the substance and the evidence with God. It's not with God, it's with man. He builds something because he hopes in something. He has this trust in the words of God that, yeah, God is going to destroy this place. And how am I going to get out of this? How do we survive? How does my family survive? Well, then the Lord gives him some instructions. Do this. This is how you survive this. Build this ark. And so Noah moves with fear. The evidence that Noah trusts God, well, it's sitting in his front yard. I mean, it's the boat. What's the substance of his trust in God? It's the boat. That's the thing that is concrete about his faith. It's I trust God. I don't just trust God in my mind. I trust God in doing this. I literally believe God is sending this judgment. And if I don't do this, then we all die. It's not just an imagination. It's activity. Faith is substance and evidence. And it's distinguished that way because people regularly claim to have it. But it's not your personal assessment of your own life. Oh yeah, I have faith. Oh yeah, I have faith. Faith is evidence and substance. And it's the basis. This becomes the basis for pleasing God. This is something that pleases God. And this is, I will say, this is before Noah builds the ark. His testimony is that he walks with God already. So he already has some faith. This is just an example. When Paul writes this, he's not giving every single instance of everybody's faith all the time. He's just giving examples of what faith looks like. It's clear that Noah walks with God. This is how he knows what's going to happen here. Faith is substance and evidence. In fact, in Peter says about Noah, says that God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. I don't know what eighth person necessarily refers to. A preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah's called a preacher of righteousness. What's interesting about that is you don't have any record of Noah ever standing behind a pulpit. You don't have any record of Noah standing in front of the boat preaching. What you have a record of is Noah building a boat and getting on a boat. That's the record. And by that activity, Peter says, the Holy Spirit through Peter says, Noah is a preacher of righteousness. He's a preacher of righteousness. So faith is substance, evidence. It is truth manifested in people. That is something that's something I love about the Old Testament, and it's when truth is wrapped in flesh and blood, that really makes it compelling. When it's set in the form of instructions, it's a little bit, I don't know, it's simple in instruction, I guess, just do this and don't do that. But when it's wrapped in flesh and blood, it makes it more compelling. When you see David, for instance, live out a life and before he falls, before all the stuff with Bathsheba, but you see how he responds to Saul. You see David resisting the temptation to revenge his own life or revenge things about things in his own life between him and Saul and Saul's hatred for David. And you see the truth that is, you know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And then you watch that played out in a man's life. Well, that's compelling. There's something to that. There's something in there. That's why I love these Old Testament stories with the people and how they're living out these truths. And I mean, sometimes, just to be honest with you, it's tough to read through Paul because it's just so much instruction, and you got to put the flesh and bone on it. You got to do that. But it's truth that's manifested in a person's life, just like Noah. What's the truth? The truth is God's tired of the culture. He's tired of the world. And so he's going to send a flood. He's going to destroy it. To this day, you have remnants of that. You have records of that. You have archaeological records of that stuff. And so it's an event that happened, and it's a true thing. God was done with that. But God will offer grace in the midst of this judgment. And if you believe the judgments of God, you believe the promise of God. This is the promise. So build the ark. So Noah does that. And that leads to the third thought. In this verse, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Faith in the words of God leads to deliverance. And it's not necessarily the salvation of the soul all the time. That's not the end of the thing all the time. In this case, it's the salvation of his family, meaning he survives a judgment of God. They live on. The family continues. Why? Because this faith, because of Noah's faith that is tangible in the presence of this ark. And so faith in the words of God leads to deliverance. This just a little bit about the flood when it's described in Genesis. It is such a sudden thing. When it finally happens, you know, if Noah's building this ark for 100 years, and people watch and probably mock and make fun and all of that, which we'll get to in a second, but when the flood finally begins. And man has had ample opportunity to listen to God and listen to God's judgment. But once the judgment begins, you don't change the direction anymore. You've already made your decision. And so just as an interesting note, when the Lord describes the flood in Genesis, it is such a catastrophic event. I've been mentioning it, but you probably have, you've seen fossils and stuff like that. These things are formed in this pressure and this violence of this event. But it's described as the water covering the mountains, but not just covering the mountains of the earth. I mean, over like hundreds of feet over the mountains. And such coverage of water. If you were in this time and the water started to rise, the Bible says it rained, it was 40 days and 40 nights. So just for you mathematicians, you take, and maybe the mountains were higher or lower, but if you just take the measurements of the current height of mountains now, and then add to it what it says the water went over. You're talking about water over the face of the earth at a rate of 6 feet every minute. At that point, you have made your decision on whether you're with God or against God. And once the water starts coming, there is no choice now. You don't have an opportunity. And so at that rate, I just can't even imagine. I mean, a torrential flood, you know, maybe around here a few inches, and then just water has nowhere to go and all that. But if you're talking about 6 feet every minute over the earth, that is incredible. That is incredible. Now, no telling what kind of land formations and all this, what happened out of that? Because that is such a violent event. So violent. But faith in the words of God leads to survival of that. You think of just the catastrophic, I don't know, the pressure, the weight, and the movement of all this water, and the Lord has said, "Well, if you do this, you'll survive it." I can't imagine anybody surviving something like that, but the Lord makes a way, and faith in the words of God leads to deliverance. I mean, there's a good way of thinking about the ark. There's a lot of foreshadowing and type of Jesus Christ in the ark. He is God's provision, and this you get in the ark, and what's in the ark survives and lives, and there's life in the ark, and all those kinds of things. But that'd be another sermon. But point is, faith in the words of God leads to deliverance. It it's not always salvation of the soul. It's in this case salvation of their physical bodies. Their life goes on. Their life is preserved. And in that sudden destruction, I'm reminded of what Luke said, or actually Luke recorded of this event. And he said, you know, the second coming of Jesus Christ is like this. It's so cataclysmic. It's such a judgment that you don't make a decision in that moment. You have made your decision. This is why you're told to prepare to meet thy God, because once the judgment falls, that's the decisions have been made. And this is the basic difference between a believer and an unbeliever. A believer is prepared for God's wrath. That's Noah. He's prepared for it. We can describe the water and the pressure and the movement and how high it rises, how fast it rises, but Noah's in the ark. He's not affected in the way everyone else is affected by God's wrath. Neither is his family. A believer is prepared for God's wrath. Why? That's what faith in the words of God does. It leads to deliverance. On the other hand, an unbeliever is unprepared for God's wrath. And by the time it's poured out, there's no preparation to be made. You've made your decision. So this is the direction faith takes. It's applying the promises and warnings of God. Noah had found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He believed God. He believed God's promise. He believed God's instruction. He believed God's judgment. It wasn't that, I like God, I just don't like what he says. He can't be separated from what he says. Faith produced an ark, became a supply not only for him, but his family. And that's the purpose of God, to remove wickedness from the earth and promote righteousness. This is the provision that God makes in his judgment, this ark, to keep them alive. And as Noah builds that thing and has it built and all that, it helps his family. And I've heard a good sermon on that too, about faith. Because you notice in the verse that it's Noah's faith, he builds this ark, and it provides for his family. There's other people involved in this. And the question, it's a good question, but what do you believe God for that is helping somebody else right now? Man, that's what this, it's by faith and from faith to faith and things like that, but faith is movement towards the deliverance of God. What do you believe God for that's helping somebody else right now? Noah's faith helped his family, provided for his family, saved his family. Maybe it's something we ought to think about. And then last is this thought. His faith produces a testimony of righteousness. The end of this verse says that by the which he condemned the world, by his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I think about the world's response to God's judgment is, it's too harsh, it's too critical, too hateful. It's hate speech. It's all those things. That's the world's response to God's judgment. And I can just hear people complaining about Noah, mocking Noah, and criticizing Noah, making fun of Noah, and all of this. And for all these years, he builds this ark and survives something that nobody else, the world that criticizes him, could never survive. The condemnation of the world, he condemns the world. So Noah gets on the boat, he and his family, the flood comes, and a year later, a year or so later, he gets off the boat, and Noah has now inherited the entire earth. Isn't that something? He got on the boat amidst a wicked world, civilization, people, and maybe other people could have got on the boat, but they didn't. So he gets on the boat. His family survives. And when it's all said and done, he gets off the boat and he has inherited the whole world. It makes me think of what Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. Stuff like that. But Noah becomes the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. The man left standing at the end of the flood wasn't a sinner that God was angry at. It was a righteous soul who listened to God. And so he inherits this righteousness that's by faith. And faith produces a testimony of righteousness. And not only that, I think it was, I don't know, a few days ago, whenever I mentioned it, but it's not only Noah that understands the judgment of God at the end of this and righteousness. You go through this list in Hebrews 11. And what you find out a lot of times, I think it was with Cain and Abel. What you find out a lot of times is not only can you be given confidence and assurance of the righteousness of God in your life, but a lot of times the world is confident of the righteousness of God in your life. That's a testimony. It's a testimony. I mentioned that because when we talked about, I think it was, maybe it was Wednesday, but Cain and Abel, it was interesting that Abel had this testimony that he was righteous. But it wasn't just for him. Cain knew he was righteous, and Cain was mad that he had that testimony. I think Noah's the same way up until he gets off the boat and there's nobody left. That's terrible, but it's the way it is. It's the way God did it. His judgment. That's that, and that really is a critical question. You know, is God right in what He does? Is His judgment just? Is He wicked? What is it? Job wrestles with that stuff. But these things are all descriptions of faith and the faith in Noah's life. Number one, faith is about listening to God's words. Listen. Like Solomon said, you come to the house of the Lord, it's about listening to God. Noah hears and Noah obeys. He listens to what God said. Faith is substance and evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'd say maybe not all of you, but some of you are in church by faith. This is why you're here. You wouldn't even be here if you didn't trust what God said. But you are. And good for you, that's good. Faith is evidence and substance. Faith in the words of God leads to deliverance. That's the direction it takes. God's going to pour out His wrath. He wants to get rid of wickedness and promote righteousness. And periodically He'll make these judgments to kind of clean house. Faith takes on the form of leading in the direction of God's deliverance, believing His promises. And then finally, faith produces a testimony of righteousness. And it will produce a testimony of righteousness in all of our lives. That's what it does. That's what it's supposed to do. And it did it with Noah. You read about this man, and by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And why is this written down? It's written down for our instruction. This is what faith looks like. This is what it doesn't mean you're going to go build an ark. That's not the application, obviously, in your life. It does mean you listen. It does mean you respond to the words of God. It does mean I believe God's judgment. I don't accuse God of wickedness when he makes a judgment. I don't make accusations against God when I don't like his judgments. I believe what he said. But not only his judgment, I believe his promises. Because within the judgments, there's grace, there's some mercy, there's opportunity for escape. And so I believe the judgments, I believe the promises, and faith produces a testimony of righteousness. And it should, and it really did with Noah. So that's Noah's faith. And there's some instruction there for all of us about faith. So I hope we would heed the instruction, listen to it. This is a definition of faith, and a good definition at that. So I guess, Sam, you want to come play a little bit? And we'll just have a little time of reflection. Think about faith, how it's applied in your life. Be applied in a different way. But ultimately, it's listening to God, believing in what God said, both his judgments and his promises. Well, let's think about these things as Sam plays a little bit on the piano, and we'll have a little time of reflection. You guys are done praying. Y'all can look up here. God bless you guys for being here. And a lesson on faith. Good stuff. From Noah's life. Remember, tomorrow we're leaving at 7. So be here at 6:30 for camp. And then regular service. Alan will be preaching Wednesday, 7 o'clock. No choir practice, but regular 7 o'clock prayer meeting on Wednesday. And weddings and all that stuff. We'll talk more about that next week. But God bless you guys for being here. Alan, how about you dismiss us in prayer?